Okay, we are holding today's daf is Tamid Daf Chavav. We are holding on Daf Chavav Amrav. We're already 6 lines down into the page. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him again very much for the sponsorship. So we are up to Yarad V'Taval, the middle of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to continue to discuss the Tevila of a Balkari. If someone became a Balkari and he's a Kohen and he's in the Mikdash, so he has to take care of that. So we're going to discuss his Tevila process. We already discussed how he got to the mikvah where he was Tovel. And then we're going to talk about the waking up of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash each morning. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what is the makor for the idea that the Beis HaMikdash requires Shmirah, because the Mishnah told us that there are 3 different makomos where the Kohanim are Shomrim. And then the Gemara number Beis is going to discuss 2 of these makomos have alios. They're on alios. They're on a second floor. So the question is there anything that goes on the first floor? Does alios just mean that it's an elevated area, but in the lav dafka if there's anything underneath it? And then the Gemara is going to talk about where did the Leviim do their Shmira? And then we'll talk about why is there only one Shomer in the Beis HaMokad, considering how many doors there are in the Beis HaMokad? And that's going to lead us into more conversations about the Beis HaMokad, that where the Zikne Beis Av exactly slept in the Beis HaMokad, what the inside of the Beis HaMokad looked like, and that will take us toward the end of the daf. So let's begin 6 lines into the page on daf Chaf Vav Amr Aleph Yarad. So says the Mishnah, Yarad V'Tavel. So the Kohen who had become Tameh as a Balkari would go down into the mikvah and he would immerse himself in the mikvah, all of in a stopping. Then he would come up and he would dry himself off and V'Nischamim Keneged Madura, and he'd warm himself connected the fire that was there in the Beis HaMokad. Now this tevila that he was doing could be done even Belaila, because only when there's a requirement of Svira do we say that the Chayavi Tevilos that requires Svira to count a certain number of days before the Tovel, so they have to wait at Sheyoyer Hayom until the next day. But a Balkari could be Tovel right away. As soon as he becomes a Balkari, he can go to the mikvah right away, even during the nighttime. That's what the Mefarish points out. The Be'er Sheva adds that when it comes to a Balkari, it's really a Mefurish Pasuk in the Torah. In Devarim Parachav Gimel, the Pasuk says, V'hayu Lifnos Erev Yirchatz B'mayim. So it says, Lifnos Erev, that he's Yirchatz B'mayim. So it's Beferish that he's allowed to be Tovel at night. And in fact, the Rambam, the first parak of Hilchos Mikvaos, quotes this Pasuk to teach us that a Balkari could be Tovel B'layla. Rashi, however, on that Pasuk says, no, Lifnos Erev means Kodama Erev, that before the evening. So it's not really a raya from that pasuk. Okay, but then the Kohen would, when it was at night, he went to the mikvah, he would get up, and he would get out of the mikvah, and he would dry off. So the Meiri understands v'nistapig means to dry off his skin from all the water that's on his basar. And the Mishnah Lamelech writes that this is not a that it's not a din that he has to dry off. It's just that that's the derech, obviously, if you go to the mikvah. So meaning this isn't a halacha. Many of the things that we're saying here, halachos, and others are just descriptions of what naturally you would do. So obviously you would dry off after going to the mikvah. Rav Moshe, though, writes in the tshuva in Yoredei Chelek Bei Simin Pei Vav that there is a chiddush lalacha in telling us that he would dry off, because whose towels would he use? So they were using the towels that were purchased with the money from the Shiyari Alishcha, even though it wasn't Litzarech Avoda. This tevila was not to allow him to do Avoda, because he couldn't do the Avoda that day anyway. He's still going to be a Balkari until the Yasarev Shemesh the following day. So even so, he was allowed to use the towels that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash that were purchased from the Shiyari Alishcha. Okay, then Vav Yashav Lo Eitzel Echav HaKohanim. Then he would go to the Beis HaMokad and hang out with the other Kohanim. He would sit together with the other Kohanim, even though Tevil Yom is not allowed into the Machne Leviya until the Asar of Shemesh. And Machne Leviya is the entire Harabayis area. Since that's not an Isser Min HaTorah, it's only an Isser Midrabanan for Tevil Yom to enter the Machne Leviya, so they weren't matriachim to go out until the morning. They let him stay there for the rest of the night. That's how the Ravid writes and the Mefarish writes. The Rush says that no, the Chum were not gozer in Isra on the Machne Leviya, except for the whole gzeira of a Tevil Yom not going to the Machne Leviya is not to enter the Machne Leviya. But if he became Tamei while he was already in the Machne Leviya, they didn't require him to leave. And that's why he was allowed to stay there the rest of the night. So all the Rishonim are bothered by, why is it he's a Tevil Yom? Why aren't we throwing him out right away? Why is he going back to the Beis HaMokad and just spending time with the rest of the Kohanim? So those are the two approaches. Either because it's only a Din Midrabanan, so they're not going to be Matriach in the middle of the night, or because the entire entire din is only not to enter the Machne Leviya, which is the sheet of the Rush, but to we're not going to be matriachim to leave the Machne Leviya. Ad shayu sha'arim niftachim, and he would stay there until the gates of the Azara opened up when it was morning time, and then Yosef Alichlo, then he would get up and he would go back home, because he was not needed, he was unable to do the Avoda. Okay, that's the Tevila of the Balkaris. Now we're going to discuss the waking up of the Kohanim in order to do the raffle or the lottery for the Truma Sadeshan that they did each day. This is really a sugya in Yuma and Daf Chav Beis, where the Gemara describes that there are four payasos that they did every day in the Beis HaMikdash. There were four raffles, and the first one was to know who's going to have the zchus of being Torim Esadeshan, of taking the ashes off of the Mizbeach. And the second pious is who gets to Shecht, and who gets to be Zorik, and who gets to be Medashim Mizbeach HaPnimi, and Medashim Esamenora, and be Malei Varm Lakevesh. That's all one big pious. The third pious is who's Makter the Ketores, and the fourth one is who brings the Evarim of the Karban Tamid from the Kevesh, because they're already on the Kevesh from the second pious, who gets to bring it from the Kevesh up onto the Mizbeach. And the Gemara over there tells us that initially that's not the way it worked. Initially, they wouldn't just raffle off who gets to do the Truma Sadeshan. Rather, what they would do is anyone who wanted to be Torim would go and be Torim. But there were a lot of people that wanted, and they would run, and whoever Kalakodim Zacha, but it was going to be Mevili De Sakana, it was absolute chaos, that people would just run to be Torim Sadeshan, and they'd shove each other, and whatever. It could be totally chaotic. So they said they needed a more Mesudar way to do it. So that's what we're describing in the Mishnah, is the pious that we're going to describe is the more Mesudar way to do it. That figure out one person who's going to be in charge of doing the Truma Sadeshan. So, Mishu wrote the Litrama Samizbech, if someone was interested in doing the Truma Sadeshan, he had to wake up very early before the wake-up call, before the Mamuna ala Payasos would come and wake everybody else up. So he'd get up early and go to the mikvah first. Even though he wasn't Tameh, that was just something that Tevila was, because anyone who's Nichnas the Migdash for Avoda requires Tevila, even if he's already Tahar. That's a Gemara in Maseches Yuma as well. So you'd have to go to the Mikvah first if he was interested in doing the Truma Sadeshan. When did the Mamuna come to wake everybody up? So locally, he didn't come at a predictable time every day. Sometimes he would come from the Kros HaGever, which is a Machlokas in the Gemara, Maseches Yuma Daf Chav. Daf Chav Amud Beis, what Kriyas HaGever means? Does it mean Kriyas HaTarnagol, when the rooster crows, or does it mean that there was a person, a Gever meaning a person, that's why that we use for Kaparos, we use a chicken for Kaparos, because a Gever means both, it means a chicken and a person, so you're saying Zeh Khalifasi, so that's why the Minig is that they use a chicken for Kaparos, but so that's the Machlokas the Gemara has. What does Gever mean in this instance? But whatever it was he would come Pam Shubam Mikros HaGever Osamachlo Milfanav HaMeachrav. It was around the time of Kros HaGever, either a little bit before or a little bit after. There is a diyun in the Achronim, if Kriyas HaGever is a person, so when did he come? Was that earlier than Kriyas HaGever the Tarnagol, or later than Kriyas HaGever the Tarnagol? But whatever it was, it must have been a different time than the Kriyas HaGever of the Tarnagol, otherwise there isn't anything to argue about. But the Mamuna would come around that time each and every day. And what would he do? Mamuna ba v'dafak alein, he'd come and he'd knock on them, meaning on the gates of the Beis HaMokad, in order to wake them up. So he'd knock on the door to wake them up. Vein paskulo, and they would open the doors for him. Amarlan misha taval yavo v'yafis. And then he would announce, whoever went to the mikvah, whoever woke up early, dafka to go to the mikvah, so that they could be eligible for the Truma Sadeshan, should come and participate in the raffle that's going to determine who's going to get to do the Truma Sadeshan, and Efisu Misha Zacha Zachabo. And they did the raffle, and whoever, it wasn't like a raffle where they would put lots in a hat, they would count fingers, it was a whole procedure, and they would, then whoever was Zocha would be Zocha. The Beis HaMokad was built half Bechol and half Bekodesh. That we're going to see in Maseches Midos Bez Hashem in a few days. The Kohanim would sleep in the half that was built Bechol. So the Muna would say to come come into the half that was built Bekodesh, and that's where they should do the Pious. That's how the Tveris so explains that the Piyasos were done in the Kodesh, but it was done in that same room. It was done in the Beis HaMokad. It was just half of the Beis HaMokad was Bekodesh. And the reason they had to do it there, the Mefarish explains, based on the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chavei, that all the Piyasos have to be done Dafka in a Makom Kodesh, because the Pasuk says, Bebeis Elokim Nahalich Baragesh. So, and all the other Piyasos that they did, the other three, they did four Piyasos a day, the other three were done in the Lishchas Hagazis. The Lishchas Hagazis was also interesting. It was also half Bechol and half Bekodesh, right? That's what the Gemara Sanhedrin talks about. That the Sanhedrin was Yoshev Belishchas Hagazis. But Ein Yishiv Ba'azor El Malchus Beisov Bulvad, right? The Sanhedrin sat in the Chol side of the Lishchas Hagazis. So the other Piyasos were done on the Kodesh side of the Lishchas Hagazis. And the reason they did the others in the Lishchas Hagazis was because they were already in the Azara, so that was right near the Lishchas Hagazis. When they were doing the other Piyasos, they were already in the Azara. But the first Piyas, they were in the Beis HaMokad, so it made most sense to do the Piyas in the Beis HaMokad. The Mefarish further writes that they didn't do the Piyas in the Azara itself, because they only did it in these chambers that were halachically considered half in the Azara, half out, but not in the actual body of the Azara, because part of the Piyas, the way they would do it, is one of the Kohanim would remove his hat, he would take off his mitznefes, and then everyone would stick out a finger, so they knew which Kohen they would start from would be the guy that took off his hat, and then they would pick a number, and they would count the number of fingers around the circle. So since one of them took off his hat, it's not the Derech Kavod to stand without his without his head covering in the Azar. It's a question what we can derive la halacha from there. When do you and don't you need a head covering? Is it necessary that a person have a head covering when a person says Kriya Shema, when a person says a bracha? So the Marshal says, well, they took off their hat when they did this, but they couldn't do it in the Azara. So it makes it sound like in the Azara, a person was not allowed to have his head uncovered. The Marshal thought that anyway, that there is no, and the Marshal writes in the Tshuva, he was asked about someone who has a headache, if he has a heter to sit and eat Begiloy HaRosh, and he says he doesn't know the source of any Isser to even say a bracha Begiloy HaRosh, and he says if not for the fact that he didn't like to be cholik ala kadmonim, unless he had another gadol that would help him out, he would have been makel to say Kriya Shema Begiloy HaRosh, and he brings a raya from a medrash. There's a medrash that tells us Amar Rabbi Brechia to medrash in Vayikra Rabba that Melech Basav Adam Meshagar Prutgama Shalol LeMedina Mayim Osim Kol Bnei Medina Omdim Al Ragleim Uporim Es Rasheim V'Korim Es V'Korim Osa Be'im Abir Beretz Ubezia, that when Melech issues a proclamation, so it gets sent out to the Medina. When they read it, everyone takes off their hat to out of respect to listen to the proclamation of the Melech, and they sit there Be'im Beretz Ubezia. A lot of times people mispronounce that word. They say Zeya. Zeya means sweat. No, Zeya means trembling. That they're sitting there with trembling. They don't have to be sweating. So when we were at Har Sinai, we weren't sweating. We were trembling at Har Sinai. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is different, says the Medrash. He has us read his proclamation every day, and which is Kriya Shema, and Lo Hitrachti Alchem Likros Lo Omdim Lo Perei Rosh. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't force us to take off our hats. So says the Marshal, doesn't force us to, but it sounds like we're allowed to. So it sounds like you're allowed to read the Perei Rosh. So they bring a riot from what goes on over here, that the Kohen would take off his mitznefes, and the Mefarish explains. So Magen Avraham writes that it sounds that only in the Azara there's an Isser to stand without a mitznefes, but in other places it sounds like there's no Isser. So some of the Achronim say, yeah, it's because he would wear a yarmulke underneath. It was a second head covering, but with total Gilei Rosh, that you can't do anywhere, even outside of the Azara. But anyway, that's what the Mefarish says, that's why they would dafka do the payasos not in the Azara proper, but in the other half of the Beis HaMokad, because it was disrespectful to be there without his mitznefes, without his head covering. Also, the Mefarish says they would stand in a circle, so someone had their back klape ahechel, so that would be very disrespectful in the Azara itself to have the back toward the hechel. So in a side room, so then it would be okay to stand in a circle. Okay, so that's what they would do. So says the Gemara now. How do I know this? How do we know what? So Mustam is going on the first halach of the Mishnah that there are three makomos where the Kohanim were shomer. However, there are three interpretations of what exactly, what element we're really trying to find a source for. The Rush says that we're just asking, how do I know that there's such a din of shmirah in the Mikdash? Who says that the Mikdash needs a shmirah? Mefaresh says that no, we're asking how I know that it's three places and that you can't just have one shomer, that you dafka have to have three shomerim. The Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ravid say no, it's how do I know that the Kohanim have to be the ones that are shomerim, not on the Iker Din of Shemira, because the Iker Din of Shemira is Mefurish in the Torah. The Pasuk says Vishomeros Mishmeres Olam Oed and Bamidbar Parak Yud Ches. It's a mitzvah saseh Ushmartem is Mishmeres HaKodesh, the Pasuk says, a mitzvah lo saseh as well. So it can't be asking how I know that there's a din of Shemira, says Rabbeinu Gershom. And the Ravid, it's about how I know Kohanim have to do Shemira. The Gra in his commentary on the first Mishnah says that the Shaila is how do I know that even in the Migdash they had to do Shemira and not only in the Mishkan where there were no walls. How do I know that din of Shemira that's described in the Chumash in the context of the Mishkan applies to the Migdash as well? Okay, so anyway, that's one of those things is the Shaila of the Gemara, something about Shemira. So what's the answer? Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about the number of the Levium and how they would encamp, the Pasuk says, V'achonim l'fnei ha-mishkan keidma l'fnei ol moed mizracha Moshe va'arun uvanav shomrim mishmeres ha-migdash l'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. So you see that Arun uvanav were shomrim the Mishkan. So you see from there that the Mikdash also requires Shmira by three Kohanim, because Arun, two Banim, that's three. So ask the Gemara, Amri, Ein. Shimor bi'alma ashkhan deboy. Yes, we do find that you require shmira. Shinug Letzis takes out the next three words. Miu masnisin katani b'shlosh mekamos hakanim shomer beis hamikdash. But the Mishnah says that there were three places that the kohanim were shomer in the beis hamikdash. Shinug Letzis takes out the next four words. Ve'ilu kra kohanim levim padei adadiksiv. But the pasuk has kohanim and levim together because it says Moshe Aaron ubanav hakohanim. So it sounds like Aaron ubanav were the kohanim. Moshe was a Levi. So it sounds like they were all shomer together. So you can't only derive from there that that kohanim do shmira. Clearly, the Gemara is assuming, obviously, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Levi. The Ravid points out that is not a universally accepted assumption. The Ravid points out that in Masechah Zvachim and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, there's a machlokas tanoim that some held that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen gadol kol yomav and he was cholik bekadshin. So the Ravid says, how come over here we're assuming dafka like one shita that Moshe was a Levi? So he said, well, everyone agrees Moshe wasn't a full fledged kohen, meaning he was not allowed to be. He was not allowed to paskin on negayim on saraas. That the Gemara says explicitly in Masechah Zvachim. And the psukim over here sound like there was a chilik between Moshe on the one hand and Aaron Uvanov on the other hand, as we're going to soon see. So the Gemara assumes that he wasn't a full Kohen, and therefore he was like a Levi, at least in certain respects. So anyway, answers the Gemara, Amri Hachi Kamar. So no, what the Pasuk means to say is as follows, V'achonim l'fnei ha-mishkan keidma l'fnei ha-moed mizracha Moshe. Moshe was shomer the Mishkan on the Mizrach side, which was the first part of the Pasuk. Then V'hadar, now you read the second part of the Pasuk. I don't know what the trup is on the Pasuk, if it divides it up. If it would fit nicely. But then V'hadar, it fits the second part of the Pasuk. The second part of the pasuk is Aaron Ubanov Shomrei Mishmeres Hakodesh. That Aaron Ubanov were the Shomrei Mishmeres Hakodesh. That the Kohanim had a separate din of Shmira. So we see from there that the Kohanim have to be Shomer in three Mekomos. Aaron Bechad Makom, Ubanov Bishnei Mekomos. Aaron in one place, and each of his sons in a different place. So Mimai, how do I know that you should darshan the pasuk this way? So says Mar Midichsev, from the fact that it says in the beginning of the pasuk Vachonim Uksiv Shomrei. And then at the end of the pasuk it says Shomrim. So we see from there Chonim L'chud. Chonim is going on Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was on his own. And then Shomrim L'chud. Shomrim is going on Aaron Ubanav HaKohanim, that they were Shomer separately from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's a makor for the idea that you need Kohanim in three places, three separate places, to be Shomer the Mikdash. Fractal Gemara Ve'ema Kulu B'chad Makom L'chudei. Maybe we could say that we can learn from Aaron Ubanav that you need three to be Shomer. but maybe they're all three are in one place. How do you know that the three are all in different places? So lo sal kadaitach ma Moshe b'chad makom l'chudei afar nubanav b'chad makom l'chudei, that we're comparing our nubanav to Moshe. That just like Moshe Rabbeinu was in his own location, so too Aaron Ubanav were each in their own location. Rav Ashi Amar, his second answer to the Shaila of how I know from the Pasuk that the Kohanim were Shomer in three places, may safely decry Shomrim Mishmeres Limishmeres. The Pasuk is Shomrim Mishmeres Hamigdash Limishmeres B'nai Yisrael. But the word Shmira appears three times. Oh, if the word Shmira appears three times, it must be that there are three separate Makomos of Shmira that are required. Sometimes that's a style of drasha, of counting up the number of times the pasuk says a particular word, and that number is meaningful. There's even one place where it's not even the number of times the Torah says a word, but the number of words the Torah uses to describe something determines a halacha. That's unique. We have that when it comes to the Dalet Minin, that the Torah describes. How do I know that you need one esrog? Pri etzada, pri is singular. How do I know you need one lulav? It says kapos tomorrow, but kapos is written without a vav. Ki ilu it said kapas. So that's singular. So the Crete, the ksiv tells you kapas tomorrow, so it's singular. How do I know you need two aravos? Arve nachal, so it's plural, and the minimum of a plural is two. And how do I know you need three adasim? Anaf eitz avos. So anaf is one branch, no? But it uses three words to describe the hadasim, anaf eitz avos. We count up the words, and that's how I know you need three adasim. So that's an unusual kind of drasha. This is more normal, that we're taking a particular word that repeats itself several times and counting how many times that word repeats itself. Okay, now the Amud Beis. The Mishnah said that the first two places that the Kohanim were Shomer was Beis Aftinos and Beis Anitzot, and that they were Alios, that they were built on a second floor. So Yibaylu, Alios Mamish Hayu, Odilma Dav Gvi Migba Ka Alios. Does it mean that there were literally a second floor in that there was a first floor underneath them? Or does it just mean that it was elevated, that it was an elevated platform, but lav dafka that there was anything going on underneath them? So Tashma, says Gemara, will bring a raya to be poshet. The Safek Titnan, it's a Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Midos. And the Mishnah describes the seven gates of the Azara. Three of them were on the north side. One of them was the Beis HaNitzot, or was by the Beis HaNitzot. And the Mishnah explains what it looks like. And it says that the first shar was Shabbat Safon, Shara Nitzot. The first shar in the northern side was the Shara Nitzot, and it was Kiminach Sadra Haya. It was built like a porch, like an open area that extended outside of the Azara toward the Harabayis, and was totally open on the fourth side. V'aliyah b'nuya al-gaba, and there was an aliyah built on top of the Achsadra, Shakwanim shomer milamayla, and that was the watch post for the Kohanim on top of that Achsadra. If you have a picture in front of you, which many of you probably do, from the I'm sure Art School has a picture. No, the Masifta has a nice picture of you. Whatever, but if it's easier with a picture, but a picture is worth a thousand words. V'alviyim milamata, and the Leviim were on the bottom of the Achsadra. UPesach hayilo lachol, and it had a Pesach that went out to outside of the Azara. So from that Mishnah, it says Lamata was ke'en Achsadra. And al gabav, there was an aliyah. It sounds like it was an aliyah mamish. It sounds like that there was something going on underneath. It was a halach sadra underneath, and on top they had this aliyah that was a watch post, like a porch that was a watch post on top. Okay, now we're going to discuss how do I know that the din that the Kohanim and the Leviim were shomer in the same places, and the Kohanim were lemaila and the Leviim were lemata, because that's what we just said. We said the Kohanim were shomer mi lemaila, the Leviim mi lemata, that the Leviim were shomer mi lemata. The Leviim, the Mishnah Maseches Midos tells us, were shomer in 21 different places. So was machlokas what that means, that they were shomer mi lemata. Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ravid and the Rash and the Rosh and Rabbi Tanura say that the same same places where the Kohanim were Shomer Milamayla, the Levim were Shomer Milamata. The Mefarish says that the Levim were not Shomer in the same places that the Kohanim were Shomer. The Mishnah means to say that in 21 places that the Levim were Shomer, there was no one, they weren't Shomer Begova, they were only Shomer Lamata. But Lav Dafka, that the Kohanim were Lamayla at that time. But anyway, Minanimili, how do I know this din that the Kohanim and Levim were Shomer in these places? So the Tanur Rabbanan, we have a Brisa that tells us. The Torah says in Parshas Korach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron HaKohen the entirety of the pasuk is v'gamas achecha mate Levi shevet avicha hakrevitach. That's how the pasuk starts. That the mate Levi should come with you v'yilavu alech v'yisharsucha, and they should accompany you and serve you. And then v'ato v'necha yitach l'fnei oledus v'shamru mishmartach al mishmeres kol olel. Then it goes right into the din of shmira. So the Levim are melave and mishares Aaron uban of Hakohanim when they're doing the shmiras hamikdash. So we see b'avodascha hakasim medaber. Sounds like the shmiras of the Levim was in the shmiras hamikdash, in the place where Aaron and uvanav were being mekayim the avodas hashmira. So ata omer b'avodascha hakasim medaber. Are we sure that that's what it means, that they were accompanying them to the shmira? Oenu ala b'avodasam. Maybe it means the avodas halevim, that the Levim were shomer in their own places, not in the places of the Kohanim. So kishu omer v'nilvu alecha v'shamru. So the fact that it says v'nilvu alecha v'shamru, and so harei b'avodasam amur. So we see b'avodasam is already covered. Hamani mekayim v'yilavu oylecha v'yisharsucha. That must be telling us that the Levim are Shomer in the place where the Kohanim were Shomerim. So from the Lashon on the Pasuk, it sounds that even in those places, the Shmiras HaKohanim was the Iker and the Levim were only Tafel. So it says, how do you have it that they're both in the same place, but the Kohanim are the Iker and the Levim are only the Tafel? Oh, simple. Kohanim Shomer Milamala, Levim Milamata. So the way to demonstrate that the Kohanim were the Iker and the Levim were the Tafel was that the Kohanim were higher up and the Levim were lower down, and that's how you demonstrate it. Okay, now we're going to get into a discussion about the Beis HaMokad. So the Gemara explains, why is it that they didn't have a Shomer by each gate of the Beis HaMokad? The Beis HaMokad was a large area, and we're about to go through that there were multiple gates there, and yet only one Shmira by the Beis HaMokad. So Beis HaMokad Kipa Haisa Kipa Ubayis Gadol Haya. It was built as a dome, and it was a large area. It was a large room that was the Beis HaMokad. Remember, half of the Beis HaMokad was Bekodesh and half of it was Bechal. Half of it had Kiddush Sazara and half did not. So, says Gemara, V'chad Shomer Hu Da'ava Beis HaMokad. What, there was only one Shomer in the Beis HaMokad, which is what it sounds like from the Mishnah? So, Urimini, but I'll ask you, Stira, there's a Mishnah Masechas Midos, Shnei Sha'arim Hayu Beis HaMokad. There were two large gates in the Beis HaMokad. Echad Pesuach L'chel. One of them was opened up into the Chel. The Chel is an area of 10 Amos that was on the Harabayis between the Azara and the Soreg. The Echad Pesuach L'Azara. And another one of the gates was opened up into the Azara. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Bezeshen, Echlas and Azara, Pishpash Katan Hayolo. The gate that opened from the Beis HaMokad into the Azara had like a little cutout door in the gate, you know, like a lahavdil elef alfei avdol. It's like a doggy door, you know, that he goes through inside the big door. So like these gates were gigantic. They were extremely high and heavy, you know? So they had like a little door cut out in the door that was actually a normal sized door to go through. Shabon nechnasin livlosh hazara, and that's where they would go in every morning to check the azara to see all the kelim that are ready for avoda and that they're in the right place and that everything is set up for the Azara. So if they had a tiny little door right by the big door, it sounds like the gate itself was very large and there should have been Shmira there. So why weren't they Mamid a Shomer by each of the gates of the Beis HaMokad? Yeah, they have a gigantic door that led into the Azara. Why is there no Shmira on that door? It's actually an interesting discussion as to why it is when they would go to check that everything was okay in the Azara, why would they use the Pishpesh? Why not just open the big gate? right? So there are three different shittos in Rishonim. The Ravid says it was very difficult to open the big gate at night. It needed a lot of people. It was very heavy, and there weren't that many people ready to help at night. So you needed to. It was still nighttime, so they needed to go in very easily. So they had to use a door that only that one person could open by himself. The Mefarish says they didn't want to open up the Shari Azara until daybreak. That was the Zman HaKravas HaTamid, and that was like a big procedure of opening the Shari Azara at daybreak. But they needed to go in and make sure that everything was okay beforehand, so that's what this little door was for. The Rush says, though, that no, it was for something else. What were they going to be bodek? Not just to make sure the Kalim were in order, they wanted to make sure that the Kohanim, who were Shomrim, were not sleeping on the job, and whoever was found sleeping, if he was supposed to be Shomer, would get Malkus. So they didn't go in through the Shar HaGadol, because then it would make a noise and that would wake him up. If you have to spot check, the giant gate would like... It would make a loud noise. It would wake everybody up, and then they would, oh yeah, I've been up the whole time. So they needed to sneak in. So that's why they used the pishpish in order to find them. That's how the Rush understands why they dafka utilized this small gate, this small door within the gate. So Amar Abai, kiven degabe adadi avukaimi sagilu b'chad shomer davilach v'davilach. Abai says you didn't need more than one shomer in the Beis Hamokad, because since both of these gates were one right across from the other one, the shar by the Tzad HaZara was on the south side of the Beis Hamokad, and the shar that went to the Chel was on the north side of the Beis Hamokad. One shomer, keep an eye on both of them. He's able to look on both sides, and he's able to see both of them very easily. So as long as he's able to see both of them very easily, that's a valid shmira. That counts as a shmira. Sometimes I once had a chasna, and I had to do the yichud room at a chasna. You always try to make sure there's only one door. Otherwise, how can you have a yichud? What are they being made to? So there should be only, because if they can sneak out the other end, if someone could sneak in from some other door, so then it's a problem. So every once in a while, you'll find a yichud room with two doors. So ideally, you want to make sure that the Eide yichud are standing at an angle where they can see both doors, and that would be a valid shmira. It's a shailin halacha. If the other door is around the corner and they can't see both doors, can you just have two edim and two edim by each door? Sometimes you have to be somich on that when there's no other option, but it's not ideal. So that's why it's better at the frum wedding halls. You know, these places are set up for I don't know, fire safety or whatever, but it's set up for Jewish weddings. Okay, so I'm sure it's fire safe and everything, but I'm not being able to. Now we get to the inside of the Beis Hamokad. So Mukaf Rovdin. So we said that they had these rows of stones. Rovdin Shel Evan. So Rovdin Mainihu. What are these? So Gzirta Ditztavta Disalki Bulitztavta. They had these rows of stones that were set up where the wider stones were on the bottom, and it got narrower as you went up. So it was like a staircase. So they were able to climb up to the top row of stones, and that's where the Ziknei Beis Av would sleep on top of these stones as you went up like the staircase. So, frankly, Gemara, Umiyavu Mifalgi Avanim, wait a second, were they allowed to cut stones? I mean, obviously they were cutting these to size in order to make like the staircase effect. Were they allowed to cut stones as they pleased? Vaksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, as far as the Binyan HaMikdash is concerned, Vabayis Bihibano So, Evan Shlema, that you need an Evan Shlema, and you're not allowed to chop the stones? The pasuk goes on to say, we don't quote that part of the pasuk, but it's part of the Vegomer, is umakavos vagarzen kol kli barzalonishma babayis bibonoso, that you didn't hear the sound of any sort of cutting implements when they were building it, because for the binyan abayis they had to bring avanim shlemos, they couldn't be cutting stones. So Amar Abayi answers, no, they wouldn't chisel the stones of the Beis Hamikdash in the Beis Hamikdash. The mesakni umaisi meikara avni zutras of avni Rav Ravasa, that originally they would bring the Avanim to the Mikdash, they would first be misaking small stones and wider stones, and they would be koveh them in the kosel, with the wider ones on the bottom and the smaller ones on the top. Kidichsib, because the pasuk describes Avnei Eser Amos, Avnei Shmona Amos, that when Shlomo Melech was using stones, he would have 10 Amos stones and 8 Amos stones, so they were allowed to do that. They didn't do the chiseling in the Mikdash itself, they would do the chiseling outside of the Mikdash, and then they would bring them as 10 Amos stones, 8 Amos stones. Now that pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here about Avnei Yeser Amos, Avnei Shmona Amos is a pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Zayin. Now Malachim Aleph Perek Zayin, it's describing not the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, but Shlomo HaMelech's own house that he built. And the Beis Hamikdash is mentioned in Perek Vav. The building of the Mikdash is in Perek Vav. After he built the Mikdash, so I built a house for Hashem, so Shlomo HaMelech is able to build a house for himself. Right, so his own palace. So the Radak explained that since the pasuk previously had said Kol Eila Avanim Yekaros, it means Kol Eila for all of the binyanim that Shlomo did. So even though in a chinami this is a description of Shlomo's own construction project, but it relates back to Kol Eila, to all of Shlomo's construction projects, including the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so why did they sleep dafka on these stones? Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham, they would sleep on these stones. Vamai Laili Mit. Why not just bring a bed in and go sleep on the bed? That's not derech eretz. To bring a bed into the Beis Hamikdash is considered to be disrespectful, so they couldn't bring a bed in, and that's why they had to sleep on the stones. In Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Sim Kufnun Aleph, Siv Dal, Shulchan Aruch says, a person is allowed to eat and sleep in a Beis HaKnesses, provided that the Achila, the Shtia, the Shena, are litzorech the Beis HaKnesses. Meaning if it's just time to convenience yourself, no eating in a Beis HaKnesses, no sleeping in a Beis HaKnesses. But litzorech a Beis HaKnesses, one is allowed to eat and sleep in a Beis HaKnesses. And he says, and that's why they sleep on Lel Yom HaKippurim in the Beis HaKnesses. And the Magen Avraham says that mikol makom, a person, even if you're going to sleep in the Beis HaKnesses, should not be machnes mitasol l'sham. You don't bring your bed into the Beis HaKnesses. So Machzor HaShagol says, how do I know you don't bring your bed into the Beis HaKnesses? Our Gemara, that they would sleep in the Beis HaMokad, and they had on these Rovat Shelavanim, and the Gemara says, why didn't they bring beds in? Because it's not the Derech Eretz. So Magen Avraham holds that the Kedusha Space HaKnesses is greater than the Kedusha Space HaMokad. And if they weren't even allowed to bring beds into the Beis HaMokad, then for sure not into a Beis HaKnesses. Because remember, the Beis HaMokad is Chetzio B'chol, and the part that they would sleep on was Chetzio B'chol. So it could be that a Beis HaKnesses doesn't have quite the Kedusha HaZara, but it definitely has at least the Kedusha of the Beis HaMokad, which is fascinating, because that would turn out that the, let's say, Bizman HaZeh, right? So the Beis HaMokad was where? It wasn't in the Azara, but it was in Har Bayis, right? And Har Bayis still has some Kedusha. And the Kotel Plaza that we daven at today, so that's outside of Har Bayis, right? We assume the wall is a wall of the Har Bayis. So what is greater Kedusha, the Kotel Plaza or the other side of the wall? So it turned out that if a Beis HaKnesses has a greater Kedusha than the Beis HaMokad, and the Kotel Plaza became the world's biggest Beis HaKnesses, it became the world's most popular Beis HaKnesses, that's where there's davening going on all the time, it would turn out that Bizmanenu, the Kotel Plaza, has greater Kedusha than what's on the other side of the wall. Until you get to the Makom HaZara, then that has the greatest level of Kedusha, which is a fascinating possibility, right? Not in terms of, normally we assume Eser Kedusha, saying the Kedushas go up, but we do have these dots of Kedusha called Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos scattered all over the place. As far as the general city of Yerushalayim, so yeah, the Har HaBayis is more Kedush than the city of Yerushalayim, but the Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim may be more holy than in a certain sense, than areas of Har HaBayis. So Rabbi Kiviger just wonders about this Magen Avraham. Rabbi Kiviger raises the problem with this Magen Avraham. He says, the makar of the din, that you're allowed to sleep in a Beis HaKnesses, litzorcho, for the tzorcho of Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara talks about Basra. The Gemara about Basra talks about how there was a Beis HaKnesses that was knocked down in order to rebuild a nicer Beis HaKnesses, and they were being lackadaisical about building it. The building project wasn't going as quickly as they could have they would have hoped for. So the rabbi brought his bed into the Beis HaKnesses, and it was a wide open at top because it wasn't built yet. And he said, "I'm staying here until this place is finished." And so you see from there that litzorich the Beis HaKnesses that they were able to no expectations but what did he do? He brought his bed in. He's Ailu Poryu L'Hasam. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra. The Mordechai learns it. It was Ravashi at the very beginning. Hichnas Poryu L'Beis HaKnesses L'Tzorech Beis HaKnesses. So it's a really strong kasha l'chara on the Magen Avraham says, yeah, you're allowed to sleep in a Beis HaKnesses when it's L'Tzorech the Beis HaKnesses. That's learned out from Ravashi. But don't bring a bed because of this Gemara. But in the Gemara with Rav Ashi, you're allowed to bring a bed. L'chor, it's really a stira between the two Gemaras, right? Are you or are you not allowed to bring a bed into a place that has Kedusha? Unless you say that for the Tzorech HaBeis HaKnesses is a greater Tzorech than sleeping in the Beis HaMokad. So you have to work on that. Others distinguish between two different types of beds. Those beds that were used for sleeping, and they used to have mitos that they would use for reclining and for eating as well. So that's also a possibility. But tomorrow Bez Hashem will pick up at the two dots, two lines from the bottom, Pirkei Kuhn. Okay.